need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'm going to tell you this right now. This is a show that if I wasn't doing it, I wouldn't want to miss it. If the show coming up today, if I was not hosting this show, I would be with a cup of coffee sitting in front of my computer, because I'm telling you, you're not going to want to miss it. Now, wait a minute. Let me back up a minute. It's not for the weak hearted. Okay. It's not. So I'm giving you two warnings here. Number one, this is a show you are not going to want to miss. And number two, it might be a show you're going to want to miss if you're a sissy, okay? And if you don't like truth and you don't like confrontation, if you are a pastor, tune out, okay? But if you're not and you're sick of what's going on and you really feel that you're part of the remnant, sit tight. Back in the studio today, back from Louisville, Kentucky, got a lot on my heart. Technologically, whatever. I don't know if our screen's working perfect. I don't know if our background's perfect. I don't know if our sound's perfect. There could be a lot of issues because I just jumped down in here. Jared's got us all up and running. So from a production standpoint, if our audio's off or the color's off a little bit, you got to bear with us, because I had to break down the studio, take it with me when I went down to Louisville, Kentucky. I got back, and just in the last 15 minutes, we've tried to square things up. So please bear with us. Sometimes I get the emails from people that say, like, I was doing a Facebook Live thing yesterday. They say, we can't hear you. And then underneath it says, yes, I hear you fine. So a lot of times the technology problem could be on your end, okay? Before I dive too deep into what I want to dive, I want to bring in the Sarge here, give him a couple minutes here to kind of catch us up to date on everything that's going on. Hey, folks, listen, right now, text somebody or email somebody. Say, tune into the Coach. Tell them there's going to be a freaking volcano. Tell them to tune in. Watch me burn, okay? Just do that for me. Come on in here, Sarge.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Just a couple of quick things. We've been adding things to the events calendar over on coachdavelive.com/events. So please check our events. And for those who didn't hear, a couple weeks ago we announced we've redone our profile. So when you sign up for the brigade, we get a little bit different information so we can figure out how you might be able to plug into the brigade. So if you haven't done so, go back, and when you click on opportunity to update your profile, please do so. Then lastly, for today, we had a discussion last night, and we are sort of looking for somebody with some media public relations background, somebody who may even have some radio programming or understands the whole radio network world to help out with the brigade. So if you are semi-retired, retired type of person who has been involved with PR for a company or your own business or something, get a hold of me, your coach, and let us know. My email address.
It's not a paid position yet. It's a volunteer, but listen, we need some help, especially somebody who's been involved, maybe with how to get a hold of producers of shows, that kind of stuff. That's what we're looking for. Sorry, Sarge.
Yeah, we want to get Coach out on some other platforms, and we need someone who's got some expertise for that. And then lastly, go to our patreon.com/CoachDaveLive. Everything that Coach creates content-wise is being available on that site, and we'd love to have you there and communicate with us. And guess what? Some of the stuff we put up there does not get censored, even though some of the YouTube stuff will. So Patreon is a site to go to. And that's it, Coach. Back to you.
I'm going to say this, because this, especially after today's show, they say give to your local church first. I'm going to tell you, give to us first. And then if you have any left over, give to your local church. Give to us first. We spent some money this weekend down in Louisville. We had some other guys from the brigade who came down there, paid their own way to come down there. I'd love to be able to cover their expenses. I don't, you know, Ray was down there. Ray worked like a trooper, and Gary was down there, and OJ came in, and we had Trent came in, Trent and Leanne, they came in. We had a lot of people who showed up. John came down from up around the Worcester area. I would like to be able to at least be able to reimburse those people for their travel, for their hotel. Some of you couldn't go. Could you help with that aspect of it? Hey, we're not going broke. We're not going broke. Come on, man. You guys, you give money to watch Netflix or whatever. I think I don't think that stuff's free. You pay your cable bill every month. And dare I say it, you pay your daggone 10% to that mausoleum that you go to. Help us pick up some of the tab for some of those guys. Are you ready, guys? Do we have all men on board? Did y'all text somebody and say you better tune in? Because I woke up, by the way, man, oh man, I had an unbelievable night's sleep last night. It's been 5 consecutive nights of no sleep. And I hit my head on that pillow about 9:20 last night, and boom, I got up in the middle of the night one time to go visit Uncle John. But other than that, wow. And then Michelle crawled out of bed about 2 hours later after me, and she said the same thing. What a night's sleep. Thank God for sleep, huh? Thank God for sleep. I want to, before I get too far into this, I want to thank all of you for bearing with me this week, live from Lexington, Kentucky, on this thing. I was doing my show on this. Technology is unbelievable, isn't it? But all that stuff that you were watching was being done right on this thing. And even though I got a large cell phone, it's hard to see. You can't see anything on it. So I'm doing the show, and I'm trying to see if anybody's in the queue, if anybody wants to talk. I mean, it ain't easy. If you think it's easy, you try to do it. And so I just thank all of you for bearing with us some of the technical glitches we had. Maybe you wanted to hear more of this guy and didn't want to hear more of this guy. Maybe you had questions. I couldn't get you all in here. Okay. So I want to apologize. Thank you for bearing with me. And I'm going to really, this is Friday, isn't it, Roger? This Friday. So I'm going to bore in here today, boys and girls. I'm going to bore in. I'm going to get this off of my chest. I'm bringing it, buddy. You guys, y'all better bring your Bibles, okay? I'm going to take you to three different scriptures right here, and then the old coach is launching. And this is not the friendship evangelism here today, okay? This ain't what this is about. This is not how to build a church 101. If you're looking for that, you go find that thing someplace else. This is not tickle the ears 102. This is not honor your pastor 109. It's just the opposite, okay? So some pastors are probably watching right now. Tighten your belt. Put on your work boots, steel toes, I hope. And sit back and enjoy. Because I got home, you know, we've been in Louisville, Kentucky. Guys, I don't know if you know. I say that a lot. The world is watching Louisville, Kentucky. CBS News was there. National. CBS News, ABC News, CNN. Rusty Thomas told me he didn't do anything except do interviews. The entire world, American world, that's not true. The eyes of the media are on Louisville, Kentucky, and what's going on down there with that last abortion clinic. That is it. Fellas, that is a hill worth taking. Take off your religious ears for a minute. Take off your religious sunglasses. This ain't about you, okay? This ain't about me. This is about the slaughter of the unborn children, where Jesus said, Paul said, rescue those who are unjustly led to slaughter. It says to help the women and orphans in their time of need. What is a woman that goes to the abortion clinic without a husband? She's a widow. She's a widow. And the baby that goes in there, he might as well be an orphan. He doesn't have a daddy there to defend him. He doesn't have a mother there to defend him. Guys, listen, I don't want to overplay the abortion card, but I cannot tell you how important this is to American Christianity. I cannot overemphasize this. As I've said before, it's like, you know, you're getting water on the floor in your bathroom, and you can't figure out why you got water on the floor in the bathroom, and the boards are rotting, and the water's now dripping down into the bedroom underneath your bathroom, and you can't figure out what's going on. And somebody walks in your house and said, "Daggone, man, your my brain. Your faucet is running and the sink is overflowing. Turn off the spigot. That's abortion in America. And if those of you who are watching right now don't understand how the game is played, let me make it. All you have to do is watch what's going on in Washington, D.C. All these blowhards who wanted to defund Obamacare, when they have the chance to do it, they aren't doing it. Can I tell you why they don't do it? Because the abortion industry takes in the abortion industry, Planned Parenthood alone, gets $500 million a year from the government. And then they take that money and they put it out the back door and they give it to Democratic politicians. Planned Parenthood is being funded by government money, by citizens' tax dollars. And then that money goes to Democrat politicians to keep them up. And then on the other side of it, we have the Republicans who are doing the exact same thing, except they're getting money from pro-lifers. Ohio Right to Life, National Right to Life, you name them. You name all the Catholic groups out there that are dumping money into pro-life organizations. And so now we see the Republican politicians, they don't want to do away with abortion. They don't want to defund Planned Parenthood because that's where all their donations are coming from. So the Democrats are getting all the money from those who want to kill babies, and the Republicans are getting the money from all of those who want to save babies. And so the game goes on. The beat goes on. Nothing ever changes. They give us a facade. They have fooled us into thinking that they're doing something, but the big game is they aren't doing anything. John McCain, he jumps on the side of the Democrats last night and kills the repeal of the health care bill. Why? Because, listen, deep in the heart of that is it's defunding of Planned Parenthood. Come on, can't you guys see what's going on? Can't we see what's going on? Oh, my goodness, my goodness. But the problem is worse than that. So I was down in Planned Parenthood. I was down in Louisville, Kentucky, my wife and I. 400 or 500 people. I don't know how many were there. Families, people came. They took their vacations. God-fearing people, the remnant from all across America, came and brought their families and paid their hotel rooms and their gas and took their family vacation outside the death pit in Louisville, Kentucky. Families did. 300, 400 people. I don't know how many were there. They came. Totally and completely dedicated. Now, Here's where I'm jumping off. See, the media wants to say we're nuts. And the last thing pastors want to do is, heaven forbid that a pastor would look like a fool. Heaven forbid. Oh, they'd look like a fool for Jesus. No, they have to be dignified. And don't get me going. I warned you. I gave you fair warning at the top of the show. Okay? And I'm going to tell you right now, the problem in America is the pulpits. The problem in America are the preachers. That's the problem in America. And can I show you right now, it's not a new thing. Hey, Jared, let's go real quickly if you could, buddy. Let's pull up. I'm going to take you through three verses, and then we're going to really jump into it, okay? Let's go to Isaiah 56:10. See, if a football team plays lousy, you blame the coach. If the church plays lousy, you blame the devil. We'll say that again because that was a good one. That just came to me. If the football team plays bad, you want to fire the coach. If the church plays bad, you want to blame the devil. The devil's fault. Oh, the devil's after us. Well, that would be good, except that's not what the word says. It says that Satan's roams about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So Satan, first of all, Satan is an omniscient, omnipresent, all-powerful. He isn't. Satan is a created being. He's not like God. He can be everywhere. So when people say that Satan's after him, no, he ain't. No, he isn't. He ain't that important. He's not after you. Why would he mess with most of you? Why would Satan care? Most of the stuff that comes into your life, you brought it in yourself, disobedience and sin. Somebody say amen. You don't have to say it, but I'm telling you the truth, see, what you did. And don't blame the devil because you didn't have the moral character or the power of the Holy Spirit to resist doing something stupid. Don't blame the devil. Devil's sitting back laughing, saying, hey, boys, listen, don't worry about them. They're doing it to themselves. Hey, boys, don't worry about it. We've infiltrated the churches. We've taken care of the pulpit. Don't worry about them, boys. pastors, they'll do that for us. Don't worry about them. Just, hey, just get them to blame us. That's okay. Get them to blame us and leave them alone. Let's go. Hey, let's go occupy the Senate. Let's go occupy the House of Representatives. Let's fight to get back into the White House. Don't worry about those church people. Amen. Isaiah 56:10. You have it up there, Jared? I'm going to take you through three scriptures. Because I'm going to call it out. I'm going to call it for what it is. Hey, hang on. For those out there who think I'm jealous, I've heard this from pastors. Well, you've never been a pastor. No, I haven't. I've been a coach. It's a lot like being a pastor. It's herding goats, herding sheep. I get it, man. I get it. And let me tell you something, pal. You listening to me, pastor? I could be a pastor right now. Let's start me a church. I could start me a church. I could be just as anointed and ordained to be a pastor as you are. Except, you know what? I would be outside my call. I'd be a man called pastor. That's what I would be. But I could be it. I could do it. I could be like you. I could go down the street and rent a building, open up a church, small business. I could open up a small business and get that thing up and running and everything be good. I could do that. Don't pull that. You ain't never been a pastor. You ain't no special, some special club, a group of specially anointed guys. You may think you are. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. It's a fivefold ministry, and how we let you pastors get to be the boss is beyond me. How we let you begin to run everything. Well, in fact, if you do those all, apostles, prophets, appointer, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, they're together, these two little fingers down there, they're the smallest part of it. They're the least powerful, the ring finger and the little finger. Evangelists, pastors, and teachers, down here, no, we got the prophet pointing, the evangelist who stands tall and goes out and delivers. You got the guy, the thumb, the apostolic. Hey, don't pull that pastor card on me, okay? Don't pull it. I ain't here to win friends and influence people. I ain't sick of it. I'm in Isaiah 56:10. You know what's wrong? Hey, Jared, maybe we ought to go up. Let's start at one, Jared. I said 10 because that's where I want to go. But you guys. You just hang in there with me. You hang in there with me. Thus saith the Lord, keep your judgment and do justice. Oh, I love the word. I could preach right now. Roger, I could get me a church going. Hey, Pastor Dave. Who's the pastor there? Pastor Dave. No, Coach Dave. Thus say the Lord, keep your judgment, do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that does this, and the Son of Man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from this people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus says the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbath, and choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give mine house and walk within my walls, a place and a name better than the sons and other daughters. I will give them an everlasting name and shall not be cut off. And also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord, to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants. Everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant, even them I'm going to bring into my holy mount. Who's he talking about? Oh, he's talking about those who totally, completely, a eunuch is someone who doesn't have sex, someone who is totally, completely devoted to the Lord. For even them I will bring into my holy mountain, make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon my altar. For mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. The Lord God will gather the outcasts of Israel, yet will I gather others to him besides those that are gathered unto him. All the beasts of the field come to devour, yea, all the beasts in the forest, verse 10, where his watchmen are blind. What? The Lord's watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. They can't even bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yeah, they're greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And there's shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way. Every one of them for his own gain from his own quarter. Come ye, say they, I'll fetch wine and we'll fill ourselves with strong drink. And tomorrow shall be as this day, only it's only going to be even better. Jesus going to just bless us even more and more. Who's he mad at? Well, he's talking about those shepherds. His watchmen are blind. Hey, Sarge, I ain't blind. And I'm a watchman.
Dave?
Yeah.
I want you to know I'm all in with you on this topic.
All right, Brad. Well, you sat back because we're just getting going.
I'm all in. It when you sit back and see the mess our culture is in, and when you sit back and see these pews full on Sunday, you cannot sit back and not see that there is a problem from the leadership. You just cannot. So you're not alone on this.
All right, boys, sit tight. I'm not done. Hey, I'm trying to. I ain't winning friends and influencing people today, okay? I ain't talking about my best life. Hey, Jared, listen, guys, I got to give you these three scriptures. Other you're going to say, well, he just pulled that one just out of context. We're not to touch God's anointed. We're not to touch him. Hey, I'm anointed to annoy you, okay? I'm a provocateur to provoke you to love and good works, it says in Hebrews. Jared, quickly, Jeremiah 23.
Time for the story, brother.
All right, in case you guys think I'm lying out there, the mealy mouth, money grubbing, sissified pulpiteers. Somebody say, no, you don't have to. You say amen, then you'd be indicted with me.
Amen.
You ready?
Amen.
Huh? Here we go. Hey, guys, I'm just reading the word. I'm just reading the word. Woe be to the pastors. Huh? Does anybody see that other than me? Woe be to the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus said the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, you have scattered my flock and driven them away. So can somebody out there say amen? You know, is that you? Does anybody know that? Anybody sick and tired of oh my goodness, I told you, I gave you fair warning. You've scattered my flock and you've driven them away and you've not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you evil of your doing, says the Lord. And I'm going to gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I've driven them and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, says the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise up unto David a righteous branch. Amen. Hey, Jared, stay right there. I got another place. Let's keep going, Jared. Go to verse 9. There it is. My heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I'm like a drunken man, like a man with wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing, the land mourneth. The pleasant places of wilderness are dried up, and the course is evil, and the force is not right, for both the prophet and the priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Oh, I could keep on going, but Jared, I ain't got time. Let's go to Jeremiah. Where am I? Let's go to Ezekiel 34, just so you don't think I'm lying to y'all. Ezekiel 34. I'm going to show you something. I got up this morning. I saw it. I got so stinking righteously angry. 34:2. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, stand up and prophesy against the shepherds. Prophesy and say to them, thus saith the Lord God unto you shepherds. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherd feed the flocks? Yea, eat the fat, and ye clothe you with your wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought against that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty you have ruled over them. They were scattered because there is no shepherd, and became meat. Listen to this. And they became meat to to all of the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yeah, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear my word. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves. Fed not the flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, the Lord, am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves anymore, for I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may not be meat for them. I could go on and on and on, but you better understand this, that our shepherds have made the people in the pew meat. They are meat. Their children are being eaten up by the evil one. Don't even speak against government schools. Don't speak against abortion. Don't speak against overtaxation. Don't speak against government dependency. Don't speak about any of that stuff. And the people, the Lord's people, the Lord's flock is nothing more than hamburger. Just reading the word, boys. I'm just reading the word. John 10, real quick, Jared. And I'm going to show you what ticked me off. Hope it took my blood pressure medicine. Just kidding. I warned you. John 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you that he that entereth not the door into the sheepfold, but climb up some other way, is a thief and a robber. Talking about a hireling shepherd here. Hang on. Think the devil. John 10:1. But he that becomes a pastor and comes in some other door, he's not the shepherd of the sheep. All right? But he that entereth by the door, I'm sorry, it's Jesus. To him the Holy Spirit opens the door, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls the sheep by name, and he leads them out. See, a good pastor leads them out, doesn't lead them in. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goes before him. He would never send Coach Dave down to Louisville and not go with him. He'd never do that. It says he put out his own sheep, he goes before them. It says, come on, let's go. He leads them. Come on, let's go. They follow him because they know his voice. When a stranger, they're not going to follow. Who will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. See, some of you guys have fled your church because you don't recognize that voice that you're hearing. You say, I've had enough of this. I'm going to flee from this. In this parable, Jesus spoke to them, but they didn't get it. He said, okay, boys, let me tell it another way. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I'm the door of the sheep. Now, so you don't get to be a pastor because your mama says you were. And you don't get to be a pastor because you want to start a new business. You get to be a pastor because Jesus called you into it. That's why I'm not a pastor. He hadn't called me to be a pastor. I'm sweating. And said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief. Who's the thief? We just found out who the thief was. It's some guy came in some other way. Some guy who's a hireling pastor. The thief. It's not the devil that came to kill and to steal and destroy. It's the thief. It's the hireling pastor. Follow it. The thief came not but to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I've come, you might have abundant life, and you might have it more abundantly. I, Jesus said, am the good shepherd, because a good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. Is your pastor giving his life for you? Does he not return your calls? Does he tell you not to touch thine anointed? Does he tell you that you bring division, that you're a troublemaker? I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd doesn't give his life for his sheep. Verse 12, but he is a hireling and not the shepherd. Whose own the sheep are not. He sees the wolf coming. There's the devil. There's the devil. The hireling sees the wolf coming and he leaves the sheep. Who's the wolf? That's the devil. And he flees. And the wolf, the devil, turns him into meat. And the hireling flees because he's a hireling. He don't care for the people. I'm a good shepherd. I know my sheep. And am known of mine. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Therefore, if my Father loved me, because I laid down my life that I might take it up again. You with me? Are we okay? Anybody want to say anything before I turn, pop the clutch and turn the corner here?
Yeah, Coach.
Yeah.
That you just read from verse 7 through verse 18 there.
That was a parable that Jesus told. And by Jesus' own words, that parable was spoken to those outside of his inner circle. He spoke in that parable because he didn't want them to understand that the scripture would be fulfilled. They're hearing, they hear, but they don't understand. So right. This parable, there's something other than what's face value on it that the point is Jesus is trying to get across, that his disciples will understand it, but the regular person hearing won't. And when you look at the last verse of this parable down here, no man, or 17, verse 17, 18, therefore doth my Father love me because. Why does God the Father love Jesus? Why does God the Father love any of us?
I lay down
therefore
my life.
Therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. He said, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now, I tell you, to me, now, the rest of you listening, you can let this apply or not to you. But to me, the reason this was a parable and there was a hidden message there, here was the hidden message to me. Hey, my Father, Father God loves you, loves me, because I choose to try to obey him and learn to live for him. I have a choice. I can either do that or not do that. That's the message of that parable to me.
Good message, Larry. That's what it is. Let me stay right there because you just quickened my heart to something, Larry. Verse 19. So Jesus delivers the mail. Look what happened. There was a division. There was a division among the Jews for these sayings. Many of them said about Coach, why he has a devil. He's mad. He's crazy. He's not a good Christian. Others said, wow, those are not the words of him to have a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the Feast of Dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple, and he started letting it go at that point. Did you say something, Rod? You want to jump in here?
No, you hit 19. That's my point. Uh-huh. We all should be look. We every once in a while, people should look at us and say, "That boy's a madman."
Amen. That's right. Hey guys, listen. Hey, listen. I don't have to be in the pastor's club, okay? I ain't in that club. I mean, I'm not interested in joining that club. And I'm gonna tell you, Pastor, there ain't nothing special about you. And you better quit acting like there is. Your job is to lead people. And when we start seeing people focus more on the coach than on the team, we got ourselves a serious problem. And when you go to church right now, I can promise you this, the focus of that church is the coach. And nobody's allowed to question the coach. Go ahead, Michael, I feel you. You're muted, Mike. Michael, you're muted.
I'll jump in until he gets off.
Okay, now is it on? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you? Okay. You've got the fire in you, and that's what we need, because what's happening here now in the summertime, you're going to see a fire going on amongst people. And the thing is that a pastor is the one who's got to be accounted for what is going on. You're absolutely right. The church is going to go through a fiery time. We're going to see a lot of things falling apart. And that's part of what God is doing right now, is exposing what you're doing, is exposing the truth of what has really been going on for a long time. And that fire is going to accumulate and cause things to happen. And those who believe and those who are of faith have got to hold on, because where does God start first in his cleansing? Always in his church. And that is going to happen during the summertime. That's what the Spirit of God has put in my heart to pray for.
Let me show you a natural comparison to a spiritual thing, okay? Mm-hmm. Don't miss this. They hated John the Baptist. Yes, they hated him. Why did they hate him? Because he wasn't your everyday, good old, cleaned up pastor boy. He didn't act like a pastor. And I'm trying to find it here in Matthew 7 where it is. Well, Jesus said Of all of those ever born under a woman, none was greater than John the Baptist. He didn't come looking like a pastor. He didn't dress like a pastor. He didn't have all the manners of the pastor. But Jesus said, that's my boy, and they've never been one like him. I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to make a comparison. You can think I'm nuts. 7:15?
Yep.
7:15, I'm going to make a comparison. I'm going to come back and we'll make a comparison. How many times have you heard this? In the natural world now, Trump ain't acting like a president. Trump ain't acting like a president. See, they want everything to be an act. They want everything to be an act, and they want to determine how you are to act. And John
Matthew
the Baptist,
11:4.
Matthew 11:4. And I'm sorry, but John the Baptist, he didn't fit the mold. Hey, baby, neither did Jesus. They wanted to throw him out of the temple too. They didn't like Jesus. Let's be right up front. The religious world hated him because he called him to account. Matthew 11:4. Jesus answered and said to him, go and show John. That's on farther down, Rob. There it is, verse 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, who didn't act like a pastor, didn't talk like a cat pastor, probably didn't have a church. And Jesus, how would you like to have the Lord say this about you, Roger? I wonder if he's saying this about most pastors standing in the pulpit. And as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, why'd you go out in the wilderness to see a sissy? A guy gets blown around, shaking in the wind? No, I said, what'd you go out to see? A man dressed in those pretty suits, those three-piece suits, and the poofed up hair and tight, skinny jeans? Is that what you went out to see? He said, no, man. Verse 8, those who wear soft clothing, they're hiding in the church. They're hiding in the church, he said. This is Jesus. See, when you get in the king's house, man, you dress like the king, you act like the king, you smell like the king, you do all that kind of stuff, see? You say, oh, well, coach, I'm in the king's house. Well, then act like it. Because he tells you this right here, verse 10. For this is he of whom is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way of the Lord. And verily I send you that upon all the men that were ever born, of every man that was ever born, any man that was ever born of a woman, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Jesus is putting a stamp of approval on him to be like him. I don't want to be like Mike. I want to be like him. I want to be like him. You can argue this all you want to. We got men dressed in soft raiment. Oh, my goodness. Clothed in soft raiment. They're in the king's house. Somebody say amen. So I know I got a friend or two out there.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. 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 Stay with me. Stay with me. I got 20 minutes. I got 21 minutes. No, I got 22 because we started a little bit late.
Dave?
Yeah, Roger. Yeah.
I'm on with you, but I'm going to tell you something. I want the men of the huddle to hear this. You ain't my cult figure.
Amen.
But I believe in your teaching, and your teaching is truth. So those that are listening, this isn't about us worshiping at your feet. This is about us worshiping our God and being thankful we can gather in the morning with like-minded men to learn more about his word.
Amen. Amen, Roger. Amen. We're just all being led to the truth. Jesus is the shepherd. He told us that. Why are you obeying a man? I'm the shepherd. I'm the good shepherd, Jesus said. I'm the good shepherd. Where did you ever get the idea in Christendom that you had to fall under the authority of some little finger? Huh? The Lord's your shepherd. Now, I believe in being under authority, but I believe in being under authority till that dude gets out of line. The prophet says you're out of line, and he doesn't decide to change. Where would you keep yourself under an authority of somebody like that? I had a conversation with a guy. I'm not going to use his name. He wouldn't mind if I used this. He told me that he had me come and speak at their church one time, and, of course, the men loved it. Men loved it. He's an elder in his church. And then he wanted to have me come back sometime later and got the men together in a men's meeting. They were discussing men standing up and being men. And, you know, I'd like to bring Coach Dave back. And the pastor's in the meeting. And somebody said, well, what do you think, Pastor? I think I'm telling the story, right? What do you think, Pastor Harry? What would you do, leader? And Pastor Harry said about me, well, I heard him once. That's enough for me. How about that, huh? How about that? Got some guy in your church trying to encourage your men to stand up and be men, and here comes Harry. Harry Pastor comes and lifts his leg and takes a leak all over it, douses the flame, douses the fire. Why? Because he's the godly man. He is. He's giving direction to the flock. Yeah, John 10 warned us about it. Turning you into meat. Jared, let's go to the stuff. Yeah.
Coach, hey, real quick, I think this is kind of perfect. Just like churches.
Swallowed, George, you're breaking up. I'm under the gun here. You'll get a good signal. Hang on, George. I'm moving on. I'll come back to you in a second. I promise you. Hey, Jared, click on Perry Stone, the stuff I sent you. You guys ever heard of Perry Stone? Anybody ever heard of Perry Stone? He's one of those pastors. I like Perry Stone, I guess. Oh, well, I want you to look at this. I want you to look at this. Sunday night in Louisville, Kentucky, we were supposed to be having our nightly rally, and this church opened up to allow us to come and use their facility, except we couldn't do it on Sunday night. Do you know why we couldn't do it on Sunday night? Well, look who's there. Jared, can you go back to that first screen? Look who's there on Sunday night in Louisville. Freeze it. I don't know if you can, Jared. Folks, you got to see this. Went right by you. I don't care about your Israel tour, Perry. I don't care about that. Oh, there it is. Can you freeze that, Jared? 2017, Louisville, Kentucky. We were in the church using the church on Monday that Perry Stone spoke in on Sunday. And none of those people, including the pastor, came with us out to rescue unborn babies. Now, Jared, let this play. Let's Perry. Oh, here we go. The main event. Here, let's go to the next one. Oh, we can get all his tapes. Let's go to the next one. Perry Stone, main event, October 3rd through 17th. Him and Jensen Carper, Jensen Franklin. Look at this stuff. Look what they're marketing. John 10:10. They're feeding themselves. We think they're feeding us. They're feeding themselves. Oh, I hear you Perry Stone lovers out there. I ain't talking about Perry Stone. Why couldn't he get his lazy hind end down there out in front of Louis? Why couldn't he have stood in the pulpit and said, let's go down. Hey, I've been watching the news. Man, there's some big stuff going on here in Louisville. We're going to go to the clinic tomorrow. We're going to help those faithful Christians down there close down that abortion. Come on, folks. I had somebody said there was over 1,000 cars in the parking lot. Sunday night, Perry Stone. Now, here's what really got me, man. You ready? Are you guys sitting down? You sitting down? Hey, Perry Stone lovers, shove it. I ain't talking about Perry Stone. I'm trying to show you a principle. I hate to do this one. I hate to do it. Roger, tell me to do it.
Do it.
Yeah, somebody else tell me to do it so I can say it. I didn't want to do it. Oh, there's a prophetic summit there. Oh, yeah, let's get all these rock star pastors out there and tell us what's going on. Because Lord knows the Lord would only speak to Perry Stone. He'd never speak to little old you. He's got to go speak to Perry Stone or Jonathan Kahn, or he has to speak through Brother Bill. Oh, he'd never come talk to you. Come on here and hear this. Oh, my Lord. I heard you. I heard you say, well, Coach, what are you guys doing at the Hear the Watchman conference? Well, we're presenting information. We're not, that conference isn't about being a preacher. That's not what that conference is about. It's about providing information to you that the shepherds won't tell you. Okay, Jared, pull this up. It's on my Facebook page. It says JC Church. I know Pastor JC Church. I know him. He's one of the good guys. He's one of the good guys. It's on my Facebook page, Jared. He's one of the good guys. He's here in Ohio. And I jump up this morning and I turn on my Facebook page. Yeah, that's it, Jared. I turn on my Facebook page and there it is. It pops right up. Okay, listen, guys. He's one of the good guys, okay? You understand what I'm saying? JC, Pastor JC, if you see this, you're one of the good guys. He fights in the culture. He does everything he can. But I about gagged. Now, I'm not even going to say anything. I want you to listen. First of all, listen where he is, when he is, why he's there, how many are coming. If I could get out right now a map and I could show you Danville, Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky, an hour's drive, Danville, Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky. Pastor JC's in Danville. He's in Danville. Go ahead and let this roll.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Pastor JC. Blessings from the Bluegrass State. Coming at you live right now. We are in Danville, Kentucky. I got my side.
This is today!
James Mullins. Some of you may remember the Jimmy J show. Got Jimmy J in the car right now. We're headed to Redemption Road Church for the music worship leader and pastor's conference with Jeremiah Yoakum. Now, those of you who are just tuning in, if you don't know who Jeremiah Yoakum is, you have got to YouTube and research him and watch some of his incredible videos. Well, he's got pastors and worship leaders and musicians here from all over, and I'm heading there right now. And I'll be preaching tonight, preaching tomorrow night. So if you can, hang in with us tonight, because in about 5 minutes, Jeremiah Yoakum and his entire band is going to be leading an incredible time of worship. And I'm going to be preaching the word. And I'm going to talk tonight, after praying today, about protecting the anointing in your house. And following the theme, Not on My Watch, how to protect the anointing in your life, in your church. And so I'm expecting God to do something amazing. So I want to stir your faith as we get ready to go into this service and believe that God can do something amazing in your life tonight in this time of worship as you kind of stay with us. But I've learned when it comes to services like this with people traveling all over that there's a high level of expectation. And I will tell you this, when they're, and I'm in a red light, so I'm not driving, and my sidekick's helping me with the camera, and I got my seatbelt on, see, I mean, we're all good, but it is raining right now here in Danville, Kentucky. But I'll tell you this, hungry hearts for the presence of God. I guess the question for you tonight is, how hungry are you, really? Hungry hearts are irresistible to heaven. When you show an intense hunger for the things of God, you become so irresistible to God that He has to come, and the anointing will come and do something in your heart and your life tonight. Where there is no expectation, there's no manifestation. So I want to challenge you to get in faith as we begin to join, as I understand it, several hundred worship leaders, musicians, and in fact, we've got, I think, 8 or 9 from my home church, believe it or not, have come down here with Jessica to be a part of this conference. And, you know, they have to hear me again. How about that? So, but I want to encourage you to begin to expect for God to do something great in your life. And I don't know what you're facing, some of you, what your difficulties are, what your hard places are. But when you begin to worship God with all of your heart, there begins to be a presence come right there in your home, right there in your business, wherever you are, and God will start doing something special in your life. So, Jimmy J, Minister J.
That's enough, Jared. Pardon me. I got to run to the bathroom here a minute. Pardon me. I don't even know what to say. Is anybody hearing it but me? Am I the only guy hearing this? Hundreds of pastors and church leaders and worship leaders after the heart of God. 60 miles from the last remaining death pit in the state of Kentucky. Yes, Sarge.
Disgusting.
And he's one of the good guys. He'll at least speak against it. Yes.
So that JC guy, he was holding. They were holding that pastor's meeting while you guys were down there in Louisville.
They're doing it. Yes, right now.
instead of helping you guys, they were in their.
Couldn't they just come over for a day? Couldn't they just bring all those people over? How about, did you guys watch our videos yesterday? Did you see those kids out there doing praise and worship at the gates of hell? Couldn't this praise and worship conference, couldn't it come to the gates of hell? Couldn't it get in some vans and drive 60 miles and go stand out in front of that abortion clinic and lift up the praises of the Lord? Couldn't it go do that? Couldn't it go to the gates of hell and do praise and worship? No, see, they want to do praise and worship so they can be more blessed. Your home will be blessed. Your business will be blessed. Your life will be blessed. Your feces will be blessed. Everything about you will just be blessed. When we're called to love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. We call it, and our neighbors ourselves. Is that little baby a neighbor? He's my neighbor. Somebody else, jump in.
That takes courage. That takes strength. That takes courage, and that's a fear that you got to step out into the war, into the battlefield. I mean, this whole thing with Perry Stone earlier, I sent you a letter that I wrote, and I actually sent it to Southeast Christian Church, that mega church there in Louisville, and I sent that yesterday. Yep. I don't know if you got it, but the point is
– I did. I saw it last night.
On that nice little covering that he did, had warrior. There's no warrior.
Unbelievable.
There's no warrior demonstrated from any of these people. They're in safe zones. They're in their safe spaces. You guys step out. Hey, those kids that were out there doing their thing have more courage and more bravery and can fight through more fear and frustration than any Perry Stone's America.
He brought 8 people from his church and didn't take him to the clinic. I've been to Planned Parenthood here in Columbus. I haven't seen him there. But he'll take 8 of them down to Danville, Kentucky. Hey, JC's one of the good. I'm telling you, he's one of the good guys. He's not afraid to speak out on this issue. Pardon me. What in the name of Hades is going on? Yeah, George.
Hey, I got a better signal, man. That's pretty pathetic. Hey, what I was saying, Coach, just like most churches won't have you speak because you speak the truth, you know what? If Jesus showed up at most of these churches, it wouldn't be the Jesus that they would expect. They would say, no, that's not the Jesus we worship. So either there's 2 Jesuses or one of us is wrong.
George, you serve the God you see. Jared, go to Revelation 12, I think it is. Somebody else jump in here while I get Jared to the right spot here.
So, hey, Coach.
Yeah.
It's much easier not to bring up the intestinal fortitude to be able to look the demons in the eyes. That's what they
That's right, brother.
Afraid of. They do not want to do it.
19, Jared, 19. You're right. You're right, Sarge. Let me look here in the queue. Who's in the queue here? Is Ray with us here? Ray LeBlanc is here. Maybe wasn't able to jump in here with us today. He was down there. Ray, it was your big moment. I was going to give you a chance to come on and testify. He's forever changed. Gary and his wife, Deb, they went down there. They're forever changed.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
It's John here. A good example of that was that black sister who testified that she was in church and never was instructed that abortion was murder, and she killed her first 2 children. And now she's the mighty warrior for the remaining children, preborns.
In church your whole life, had 2 abortions and never, ever heard from the pulpit that it was wrong. Not that – you understand what she was saying? No one – they didn't even talk about abortion. So, therefore, it was assumed abortion was okay. They never even talked about it, okay? Now, hang on. You guys want a visitation from Jesus? He's not a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And he's not a defeated Savior hanging on a cross, beaten and bloodied. He's not that. Revelation 19 tells us this. Scroll down, Jared, to verse 11. This is the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation. Not Revelations. It is the book of the revelation of Jesus. This is Jesus Christ today. Verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress and the fierce and the wrath of Almighty God. He has on his vesture and on his thigh a name tattooed, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You want a visitation from Jesus? You better be careful, boys. You better be careful what you're hoping for. See, our watchmen are blind. Isaiah 56:10. There, our watchmen are blind. They're all dumb dogs, loving to bark. They can't even bark, loving to slumber, lying down, taking the easy life. Who is our watchmen? Our shepherds. Yeah, Coach, you're just jealous. You're just jealous. Hey, I could build me a church right now. I could go rent me a storefront and start preaching that prosperity message. I'd be rolling in dough and the pews would be filled. You think I'm making that up? You think I'm making it up? I could go do that. I'd have to soften my image a little bit. I'd have to tone it down. I'd have to go stop rescuing babies and calling homosexuals to repentance. I could stop that. I could build me a church. Boy, my face would be on top of everything. I'd be in popular circles, and I'd be going to conferences, and I'd be doing teachings. What am I saying, man?
Amen.
Anybody think I couldn't do that? Anybody think I'd do that anointing? See, that'd be a false anointing. I'd have to run away from the Lord to do it. I could do it. Stop being so haughty, pastors. Stop being so haughty, high and minded, thinking that you got a pipeline to God that I don't have, or that Roger doesn't have, or that George doesn't have, that you just got your own special line, and only you, the people in your church, they got to come through you to get to God. See, it's the same thing as we did with indulgence with the Catholic Church. That's what the Catholic Church is all about. They had to go through the priest. Lord lives inside me. A sheep hear my voice. Another word they will not hear. I got that off my chest. I didn't get to where I wanted to get, but I got it off my chest. I got it off my chest. I feel good. I'm going to say this. Listen, I'll come to your church. Wherever you are, you get a venue. You get a venue, and we'll come. We'll bring the truth. We'll help you raise up around you. Chad Estes down in Florida. I'm sorry, down in Texas. How many does he have coming, Sarge? He's doing this very thing. He's got like 18 or 20 people that are going to come spend the day at the Estes Ranch. Not really a ranch.
20.
How many does he have? How many does he have, Sarge?
20.
20. There are 20 that are coming. I said, Chad, you do it again next month, and I'll fly down, and I'll come down, and I'll encourage you. Folks, listen, we got to wake up the remnant. We got to wake them up. We got to wake that old dead church on your corner, and that church that you're in that's playing all that flashy music and poofed up hair and tight skinny jeans and talking about how much Jesus loves you. Listen, flee from that place. Flee. I'm telling you, we read it today. We read it in the Word. We read it. You're being deceived. You are being turned into amber. What's happening? We look around us. Future of our children and our grandchildren is at stake. And it's like the argument I got into with somebody again yesterday at the clinic. Don't be harsh to the women. We'll never get the women saved if you keep speaking so harshly. Hey, ma'am, they're murdering their stinking baby. They are a cold-blooded murderer. Be nice to them? Are you kidding me? Should I be nice to the terrorist who comes with a knife to cut my throat? Be nice to him because he might not come to Jesus? Go ahead, Glenn. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Listen, I don't know how much time we have, but Coach, if you could bring up, just spending some time in Acts, if you could bring up Acts chapter 7, verses 51 down through 56.
Acts 7:51, Jared.
Okay, the point here is this. The Bible says that Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. But when he saw Stephen, he stood up, and Stephen said, I can see standing up on the right hand side of the Father,
giving him a standing ovation. Glenn, he's giving him a standing ovation. Jesus
absolutely
is standing up.
Read what it says in 51. Read what Stephen says, okay, to the religious.
Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hardened ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did so to you? Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which were showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers. Have you, who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it? When they heard these things, they were cut to their heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being of the Holy Ghost, I know I got muted, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing up on the right hand of the Father. I put the up, but that's what it says. And he said, behold, I've seen the heavens open, the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried out with one loud voice. And they put their fingers in their ears and jammed it. And they ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God. They stoned Stephen and called upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, Stephen called, said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, please lay not this sin to their charge. And we had said this, fell asleep.
And Paul
Paul was what?
Paul was there.
And Paul was there. I'm glad to go take a nap.
I guess that shows us there is some hope.
There is some hope, brother. And that's a whole nother show. This idea of the doom and gloom, we don't have any idea. We're so convinced that Jesus is coming that we don't even stand up and fight. What did I say, Republican or rapture? And then somebody added the third, which is more important, Republican, rapture, or revival. I'm believing for revival. Keep the faith, fellas. Keep the faith. Keep the hope. Keep Jesse Jackson said, keep hope alive. Keep hope alive. Keep hope alive, brothers.
Hey, Coach,
yeah, Larry.
Yeah, before you leave, real quick, remember, revival starts with R-E or again. See, the revival is for those who belong to God. It's not to go out and get a whole bunch more in the club. Those who are already in the club, if they'll just do what they're damn well supposed to do, things will change.
Amen, Larry. Keep hope alive. We'll see you tomorrow.